You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you with us. Welcome along to the FWA podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner in the studio, and each and every week we get one of the top sports journalists in the land to preview the weekend's televised football. And this week is no different. Ralph Ellis, a freelance journalist with the Sunday Mirror and the Daily Mail, is on the line right now. First of all, a warm welcome. Good morning to you, Ralph.
Yeah, and good morning to you too.
Incredible spectacle last night at Anfield. We were just talking about this off-air, Ralph, a few moments ago. I was absorbed by that game against Borussia Dortmund on Thursday evening, and Liverpool coming through with that last-minute late Dejan Lovren goal. It was just an incredible atmosphere at Anfield, or sounded incredible. That was what was transmitted through the television screens.
Yeah, it was one of those great nights, wasn't it? Everybody talked about European nights at Anfield being so special, and I'm always a bit sceptical of that because I think European nights are special everywhere else too. But on this particular occasion, you couldn't mark it down in any way at all. You know, right from the atmosphere seemed fantastic building into the game, and then obviously stunned by the two early goals. And looked as if it was all over, and a great comeback. You know, I think I read that Jurgen Klopp's half-time team talk was telling his players that they had to do something to talk to their grandkids about. Well, I think they can talk to their grandkids about, and probably most of the people who were there will talk to them too.
I think everyone loves Jurgen Klopp as well, Ralph.
He has such charisma, doesn't he? And what I like about him is he appears to enjoy what he does. You know, in an age when there's so much pressure and so much attention and so much profile on managers on the touchline, he always looks like he's enjoying it. You know, it doesn't look like it's work to him. He looks like he would if you were running the pub team in the Sunday morning park. He has that great enthusiasm about him.
The draw's going on right now. We're recording this at 11:30 on a Friday morning. The draw for the Europa League is taking place right now. The draw for the Champions League has been made, and Manchester City will be playing Real Madrid over two legs, with Atletico Madrid taking on Bayern Munich. Manchester City versus Real Madrid whets the appetite as well.
Oh, not much. I mean, again, Manchester City, I think, defied a lot of people in how they performed against PSG in the week, didn't they? And it was a really excellent performance. And I think it showed what a good player De Bruyne is and how important he's become for them. And, Real Madrid, amazing challenge, that one. And they have to start favourites. But, City have proved you never know. And certainly if they get company fit by then, that would give them an extra chance as well.
Still outsiders, 6-1 Manchester City here with William Hill to win the Champions League. Bayern Munich are favourites at 6-4. Real Madrid 7-4, Atletico Madrid are 7-2, and Manchester City in the betting at 6-1. Slightly closer to the action this weekend in the Premier League, and we're going to spin through the five televised matches. We start on Saturday lunchtime with Norwich versus Sunderland. Norwich are 11-8 to win the game, the draw 9-4, and Sunderland 2-1. Enhanced odds, Dia Mercia Mbakani to score and Norwich to win is 4-1, and Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win is in the betting at 5-1. Biggest match of the season for both teams, this one, Ralph, because there's a huge amount of tension and pressure in the lead up to this game. If Sunderland win, there will just be a point between the two, but if Norwich win, they'll extend that gap to 7, which might be insurmountable.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking, haven't we, about the glory of European nights for both Liverpool and Manchester City, but this is the complete opposite of the scale, isn't it, with the amount of pressure involved in clubs going down, and particularly for a huge club like Sunderland, who've been in the Premier League several years. I mean, we've seen in the week what's happening at Aston Villa, where there's 100 people being made redundant because they've gone down. And, the same sort of threat will be hanging over Sunderland. I've got a sneaky feeling for them. I think, Sam Allardyce bought well in January, and while they've not been winning games, they've not been losing too many either, and they've been picking up points fairly consistently since January. I think Kirchhoff has been a big asset that being converted from a centre-half into a holding midfield player. And I just wonder if this might be 2-1 you're telling me about. Mm. That sounds quite attractive. I think that might be the day that they upset the odds and make a bit of a race of it still.
They've had trouble scoring goals, haven't they, Sunderland? That's been the main deficiency in that team. Jermaine Defoe has got 12 Premier League goals this season, and they're really relying on him to make an impact.
Yeah, very much so. But, you know, equally, you always think to yourself, Defoe's one of those people, if you had to rely on anyone, well, he'd do me. If he's missed a couple, well, you'd expect him to score the next one. You know, one of the things I like about him is he doesn't dilly-dally. When he has a chance, he gets his shot off very early, and that's one of the reasons he scores so many goals. You know, he always wants to try a shot. He's not one of those strikers who wants to set it up and get it perfect and give the goalkeeper time to set himself. You know, he's always getting his shot or his goal attempt away, and I think that's a big asset for him. And yeah, you know, he'll be the danger man as far as Norwich are concerned.
Sunderland to win and maybe Jermaine Defoe to score the goal. 5-1 Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win. If you just like Sunderland to win the game like Ralph does, 2-1 Sunderland to win that match. At 5:30, the tea time kickoff on Saturday is Chelsea versus Manchester City at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea are 17-10 to win this game. The draw 11-5, Manchester City 17-10. So each of two really in the betting here, Ralph. And I just wonder whether Manchester City, exceptional midweek against PSG in beating them 1-0 through Kevin De Bruyne, who you've mentioned. Just wonder whether there'll be a bit of mental letdown going to Stamford Bridge on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's a curious one. You know, when you wrote this fixture down at the start of the season and looked ahead, Chelsea, Manchester City a couple of weeks before the end of the campaign, you'd see it as a potential title decider, wouldn't you? And instead of which, it's very much, I wouldn't say an afterthought, but it's very much low down on the list of the most important games over the weekend. Chelsea are a bit stranded. Manchester City, obviously, is coming off the back of their brilliant performance. But they need results still. You know, they still need to make sure they're in the top four so that they're in next season's Champions League. You know, the thought of Pep Guardiola arriving to manage a team that's not in the Champions League is a scary one, isn't it? And and somehow or other, for all the thrill of qualifying earlier in the week and how they performed against PSG, they've got to pick themselves up and make sure they get a performance. I mean, I would imagine that Delph will be figuring in the lineup so that they have a player that wants to come in and give the team a bit of an extra drive.
Kevin De Bruyne, I'll just mention him one more time because he has been talismanic for Manchester City recently. He admitted that he was shattered after that semi-final and asked to be taken off late on against PSG. I just wonder whether he'll be rested for this game.
I would have thought he'd probably had enough recovery time. You know, that game was on Tuesday night. I'm trying to remember my week now. It's been that thrilling.
It has been hectic with all the European matches.
That was Tuesday night, actually, wasn't it?
Yes.
So, you know, you would think Tuesday to Sunday, that's good rest. And you know, he ought to be recovering from that well and flying. And Manchester City do need him. It was quite interesting that the little flat spell they had of taking only 4 points from 6 games, I think, after the announcement of Pep Guardiola coming was made, also coincided with when De Bruyne was missing. Mm. And while everybody thought it was people taking their eye off the ball because of the management situation, I think missing De Bruyne was a big factor in that as well.
Chelsea 17-10, the draw 11-5, Manchester City in the betting at 17-10. What's the prediction here then, Ralph?
Well, if the two teams are 17-10, both 17-10, you have to go with the draw, I think, don't you, in the middle.
Yeah, I think so as well. Let's move on to Sunday's live games. Leicester versus West Ham. Leicester City 10-11, the draw 5-2, West Ham in the betting at 3-1. It's going to happen, isn't it, Ralph? They were 5,000-1 at the beginning of the season here with William Hill. They're on the verge of this Premier League title now. And if they win this game before Tottenham play on Monday night, they can extend their lead at the top to 10 points. And that will be, I think, impossible for any of the teams in behind them to bridge. It's going to happen.
Yeah, well, it certainly seems that way now, doesn't it? And, you know, even if they don't win the game, I would have thought a draw would be enough to, if it stretches it on to 8 points before Tottenham play. You know, every week we've been waiting for the week when Leicester wobble, and they just aren't wobbling. They just defend so well. They all know their jobs. They know what they're doing. And the win at Sunderland was huge, wasn't it? They defended, did things right, got things right. What I love about them, we were talking about Jurgen Klopp and how he smiles and enjoys it. What I love about watching Leicester is how they're all enjoying the game. You know, you see Vardy missing a chance and laughing about it as he's on his way back because he tried to do something clever and it hadn't come off. And you know, and you see Mark Albrighton laughing at something, and Danny Drinkwater's full of enthusiasm, and you know, and in the back, Wes Morgan is his big rock alongside Robert Huth, who's an even bigger rock, and they just all seem to be enjoying what they're doing, and I think that's one of the reasons that they put this run of wins together that and stood up to the pressure so well. And for West Ham, well, they've had a big letdown, haven't they? You know, Arsenal that didn't quite go to plan, then the FA Cup tie that ended as a big disappointment. And for them, they've got a real challenge to get themselves up for a league game at Leicester now. And, you know, I think this could well be another chance for Leicester to win and move on.
Yeah, you mentioned the challenge it is for West Ham to or reinvigorate themselves ahead of this match, given that they were knocked out midweek in the FA Cup by Manchester United. I suppose Slaven Bilic is the man at the helm you'd want, because he will take no nonsense. He will expect them to go out and perform on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, he's proved himself a top manager this year. And there were doubts about him when he took over, and you know, what were West Ham getting, and was it the right move, and so on. But you know, he's proved himself in very, very many ways in terms of the way he's gone about the job. I mean, I wasn't particularly sure he got his team and tactics right against Manchester United in the week, and they got bullied in midfield early on, but even so they made a fantastic fight of it in the end, and but for a couple of great De Gea saves they could well have taken it into extra time.
As a quick aside, Ralph, just before we move on to Arsenal versus Palace, we do have PFA Player of the Year betting here with William Hill, given that the shortlist has been narrowed down to six now. Riyad Mahrez is 1-3 favourite to win a PFA Player of the Year. Jamie Vardy is 5-2. Harry Kane 12-1. Dimitri Payet is 20-1. N'Golo Kanté in the betting at 20s. And Mesut Ozil is 40-1. So three Leicester players in the PFA Player of the Year shortlist. Ralph, who do you think is going to win it?
Yeah, I think for the players, the vibes you get is the players will go with Mahrez. I think they, you know, they look at his technique, his beautiful flowing runs, his record of goals and assists, and their vote comes earlier. And you know, they were voting a few weeks ago when Mahrez was very much the main man, and Vardy's goals had dried up a little bit. So I think the players may well be leaning towards Mahrez, and that will be why the betting, you know, your odds would reflect that. I think when the journalists come for Footballer of the Year, the romantic story of Vardy might surface a little bit higher. That's going to be an interesting one. I mean, certainly that's my pick when I'll be voting for Footballer of the Year, unless anything changes drastically, because I think that you know, Jamie Vardy's goals set the tone for Leicester's season. They got Leicester's season going and gave them the belief in the first place. And you know, it was only after Jamie Vardy's goals were rolling that we began to notice Mahrez's magnificent contribution. You know, and I think the football writers, we love a good story, and Vardy is a fantastic story, where the players tend to look just at what they see on the pitch, where Mahrez has been magnificent.
Interesting. At 1-3, Riyad Mahrez to win that award, with Jamie Vardy in the betting at 5-2. What about the match at the King Power? Leicester City, do they continue to roll on Sunday afternoon?
I think, you know, because of what I said about the difficulty of West Ham getting themselves back up for this game after the disappointment they suffered in midweek. And if they play Andy Carroll again, well, I think that's tailor-made for Huth and Morgan to deal with. That's exactly what they want, to, you know, crosses coming in for him, and there's probably not two better centre-halves at heading crosses away.
Let's move on to Arsenal versus Crystal Palace, which is 4 p.m. on Sunday. Arsenal in the betting at 7-20. The draw 19-5 with Crystal Palace 8-1. Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win 6-4. Yannick Bolasie to score and Crystal Palace to win 25-1. Typical Arsenal at this stage of the season, Ralph. We see it every single year, battling it out for a top four place rather than challenging for the title.
Yeah, I mean, they still have that outside hope, don't they? And but as ever with Arsenal, they play their best when the pressure's off them a tiny bit, doesn't it? When it's become a distant dream rather than a reality. And I think I'd see them rolling Palace over quite comfortably at home and playing all their flowing football and looking beautiful and having another Sunday night where you think to yourself, well, why didn't they do that in the games that really mattered, Yeah. And sadly, that's once again been the story of their season.
Do you think they will win comprehensively then? Do you think they'll win easily?
I would stand to be proved wrong, but I could see it as a 2 or 3-0.
Yeah, 2-0 is 6-1, 3-0 in the betting at 15-2. And on Monday night, we've got a trip to the Britannia to enjoy. Stoke City versus Tottenham is the Monday night game, and Stoke are 17-5 to win the match. The draw 5-2 with Tottenham in the betting at 5-6. Enhanced odds, Bojan to score and Stoke to win is 8-1, and Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win in the betting at 2-1. Stoke have gone off the boil ever so slightly, Ralph, and Tottenham, no matter what the result is on Sunday afternoon, will want to keep the heat and the pressure on Leicester as best they can.
Well, I think they have two things, Tottenham, that they want to keep the heat and the pressure on Leicester, but they also want to make sure they stay ahead of Arsenal,
yeah.
Which is for them is a big issue, isn't it? It doesn't happen that often. Stoke, you never know which Stoke team's going to turn up, do you? There's the Stoke team that performs brilliantly and plays with flair and with the likes of Bojan that offers all sorts of wonderful things. And there's the other Stoke team that's brittle and gets beaten too easily and gives away silly goals. The good Stoke team tends to turn up more often, particularly at home against the big opposition. So this won't be an easy night for Spurs.
No, it could be tough for Spurs this one, and it'd be a big challenge for them. They are odds on to win the game. They've got a good record at the Britannia against Stoke, weirdly enough. In the Premier League, no visiting team has won more often. They've won four times at the Britannia, along with Chelsea and Manchester United. They have got some incredible talent in that squad, and young players as well, that you think if they can hang on to those players in the summer, even if they don't win the title this year, it could come under Mauricio Pochettino next year.
Yeah, well, you get the sense that they're a club moving forward, don't you, over the last year or so, and obviously they've got issues now to come while they're rebuilding their stadium. They've got to have time away from White Hart Lane, and that's probably going to be more of a difficulty to them than you might envisage at the moment over the next 2 to 3 years, because that will disrupt the smooth progress and of the young players coming through and make it more complicated for them as a team. But there's no doubt the likes of Kane and Dele Alli and Dyer have been absolutely tremendous this season, and been a real joy to see that, you know, that sort of team coming through with players that they've not gone out and spent millions on, but that they've developed and improved themselves.
What are you going for here?
Oh, I think it could be a draw, this one.
Okay. The draw is 5-2, 5-2 for the draw. That wraps us up, Ralph. We've been through the five televised games. What's your favourite bet this weekend? If I was to give you a tenner, where would you put it?
Oh, good one. A tenner this weekend. Well, I'd probably have that Defoe to score and Sunderland to win at Norwich, I think.
Yeah, that's a big price, isn't it? 5-1. If you fancy Sunderland, I think if they're going to win that game, it's going to have to be Defoe that scores the goals for them.
Correct.
Yeah.
Won't be anybody else, that's for sure.
Thank you, Ralph. If you want to follow Ralph on Twitter, it's @RalphEllis56. You can follow myself @DKellner. Ralph, thank you for your company on the FWA podcast. Always a pleasure.
Absolute pleasure.
And hopefully we'll catch up soon.
Great stuff.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.